turn to, is it second? First Peter. I don't know. I mark things wrong in my Bible sometimes. I was like, I know it's First Peter, but I have Second Peter marked. Second Peter, or First Peter chapter 2. See, this is where I get myself confused. First Peter chapter 2. That's what we're going to look at today. We got some other scripture. Matthew, you can put a mark in there. We'll be there as well. But you may have looked in the bulletin. And we just finished up a series of Living Out Loud. And to be honest with you, I don't know where we're going exactly with this. This is not one. This is something the Lord laid on my heart. I feel like it's a couple of weeks, but I don't know how much more. I know in 3 weeks from today, Blake is preaching, I think. Or is it two?
Three.
Yeah. So 3 weeks from today, I will not be here. I feel like this is going to be a little longer than that, because where we're at with this is something I think the church needs today, and it's not necessarily just this church, it's the church in general. And with us having the radio broadcast as well, you know, I feel like this is something that can possibly reach more than just what we're dealing with inside the doors of Newland Christian Church as a whole. So you may have looked at the bulletin and you're thinking, okay, why am I here this morning? I see Christianity 101, that's fine. Then I say, well, the first one is, what is Christianity? And in reality, we should already know the answer to those questions, right? I mean, in reality, if we're here, we should know the answer to Christianity. Well, Christianity defined by the Webster's Dictionary is a number of different things. Actually, it is the practice of the teachings of Jesus Christ, I think is the way it's defined in Webster's Dictionary. Well, here's the problem. Who really knows the teachings of Jesus Christ in the church? Because as we look at the name and the things and the stuff that happens, the church in America specifically, you've heard me mention this a few times over the last few weeks, but the church in America doesn't necessarily look like the church in the Bible. And in fact, the church throughout the world doesn't necessarily look like the church in the Bible. So therefore, do we have a real clear definition of Christianity? Do we truly understand what Christianity is? Well, let me put it this way, and this might be an example that some of you are thinking, all right, how in the world can that compare to this? Well, as a kid growing up, I loved a restaurant. When I was growing up, how many of you remember Showbiz Pizza? All right, at least there's a couple of you. I believe it actually has now changed names, and you'll probably understand and know this name, Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese.
All right. How many of you know and remember? Now, Showbiz Pizza was a lot different than Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese is more about one creature, and it's a mouse, and it's either terrifying or not. But Showbiz Pizza, who remembers the show? I do. It had a gorilla, and what else was it? There was a gorilla, and I mean, it was all different animals that were on a stage. You would go in, and you sit down, and then the curtain would rise, and you have a gorilla playing the piano. And they're singing, and they're having a big old time, and it's just a big show. Well, Chuck E. Cheese then kind of transitioned into that, and it became about him, and then they had that stage show. Well, now Chuck E. Cheese is just a stuffed mouse that walks around and scares your child while everybody's playing games. So it's transitioned over the years, but I remember Showbiz Pizza well because I used to love getting the opportunity to go. Well, as a child, that kind of transitioned into my teen years, which then became Mr. Gaddy's. It wasn't the same because they didn't have the show, but they had the arcade. So I absolutely loved it. And now, I don't know, is there still one in Pigeon Forge?
Mr. Gaddy's?
Yeah. I believe that's the only place I know of that has one now. They used to have one in Bristol. We used to go all the time. I loved it because in one room, you could watch the big screen television, watch sports. In another room, you could go play in the arcade. In another room, you could watch Lifetime or Hallmark or whatever else was it that the ladies wanted. Well, you didn't have to eat together. You could go find the room you wanted to be in. and TVs. And the one in Pigeon Forge, I believe, still has, they have one room with multiple TVs. And you can go in and watch any ball game, or another one where they're showing movies. And then they've got a huge arcade that you can go and take part in now. But as I thought about this, and yes, this does have a reference to the church. How many of you have ever been to Artisanal or to the Gamekeeper or eaten at Eceola? I mean, what's a requirement for the most part to get in at Eceola?
Tie.
You have to, for the most part, be wearing a tie, right? I mean, you know, for you to get into a place like this, you have black tie, sometimes a jacket. And I mean, and it, at one point, the peddler was that way in Boone. And I think they've kind of opened the doors more to people now. you know, but the reference you made this morning kind of sticks to where we're going with this. I got to thinking, though, about how the Christian life is. And we think about it in terms of these restaurants. Well, we all grew up on Chuck E. Cheese. Or Showbiz Pizza or something of that nature. See, here's the problem with the world today. There's two different styles of how life is brought to us. And the way that the Word of God works, we start with the milk. We start with that introductory. We start with Chuck E. Cheese. Well, eventually, we got to get to, not necessarily, I think sometimes we can kind of get a little too involved. And then sometimes we can go Dave and Buster's with it, which is an adult Chuck E. Cheese, basically. So you've got the two, you know, one way or the other, where things can completely get way too strict, or completely get no strictness at all, or you can meet in the middle at somewhere like, I mean, I don't even want to, I don't know, just any restaurant that you can think of, Olive Garden, somewhere that you go for a family sit-down meal that's not too high class, that's not, you don't have to wear the tie, you can go as you are. And see, this is where the church has kind of gotten mixed up. We've become like these restaurants. We've decided that one church needs to be your Chuck E. Cheese, and that's VBS, right? VBS is your Chuck E. Cheese. You come, you hear about Christ, and you learn through different characters. Well, as you get older, you still want to have the fun, you still want to do all those things, but the characters are just a little bit out of sorts. And then as you get into your adult years, if you never grew up and got past the character stage, if you never got past some of those things, you go into the, well, let's make an adult version of the child version that we love so much and see how that plays. You know, and that's where Dave and Buster's, you know, when I talk about these restaurants and I talk about these things, I'm not doing it to encourage you to go or not go. What I'm doing is trying to use references that are going to teach us something. But when I think about it, you know, the thing is Chuck E. Cheese, there comes a point in time where you going as a middle-aged man with no children is frowned upon, right? I mean, if I were to go into Chuck E. Cheese, or if Blake were to go into Chuck E. Cheese, or Joe were to go into Chuck E. Cheese without a child with them, somebody's probably going to call the law and be like, there's a suspicious person here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because why is this guy coming to Chuck E. Cheese where all these kids are, but he didn't bring his own? You know, I mean, that's the way the world looks at things today. And so as we think about that and we look at that, basically, you know, what takes place at Chuck E. Cheese? Well, you're able to run around like a crazed maniac, doing what you want to do, playing games, right? I mean, he doesn't just sit still at one place. He's all over the place. He wants to see this. He wants to do that. And you want to just move from one thing to another. And it's a maze of games and fun, all intended to actually get you to spend a whole lot more money than you would just on the pizza. I mean, in reality. But isn't that the way the world's kind of set up? I mean, it's the same thing with the Dave and Buster's, which is the adult version. You go in and you get your meal. But in the process, you can include in your meal a plan for a card that will let you play a game. And you can play air hockey, or you can do any of these things. You know, even Mr. Gaddy's has gotten that way, I think, where you can get a combination of a meal and a card that will play games. You know, But then you go to a restaurant like Artisanal, or you go to the Gamekeeper, or you go somewhere that's one of these high-class restaurants that we know of around here. Well, number one, you about have to be on a wait list or invited to come. Number two, you have to be dressed a specific way. And there are no games that you play. There's not a game you're playing. The game you're playing is that you just know how to rub elbows with certain people. And as you said, if you tell someone no, they're done with you. And so as we look at that and we look at and go through this today, here's the thing. Security guards are probably everywhere in some of these restaurants. And, they might look different. I mean, but there's somebody there that's watching, making sure you're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Maybe it's at Chuck E. Cheese. You're not supposed to climb on the game system. So they got a security guard watching you. But if you check their menu, they've probably got enough of caffeine or what is it, red dye number 7 or 5 or whatever it is that gives all that energy for a kid to go running around. When we look at that, here's where we find ourselves in the Christian faith today, is we have all these choices that are out there. Now, the reason that I go through all of that is to tell you not every church is the same. Some churches are stuck in the child phase. They're stuck in the VBS phase. They're stuck in the let's see what we can do through the Bible stories that we already know. And let's not really look to go any farther than that. Some churches are stuck in trying to get so deep in the Word that they can't teach you anything because you're not there yet. And then some churches are trying their best to reach out to each individual person that walks in the door and trying to teach them this way. This is what I hope to do over the next few weeks, is get us to a point where we start to understand that we can't dive deep without first having the milk, but we got to have the milk and then move on. We can't just stay there. Unfortunately, the problem with Christianity for us today, and this is all going to end up concluding with the message that we've been talking about for a few months. We had to lead our way there, but we're all going to wrap it up with, has Christianity failed you? Because we're going to look at the way that Christianity has failed people today, but Christianity is not what failed. And as we start to move ourselves forward, I promise you, you're going to understand that a little bit. But if you've ever been to any of these very classy restaurants, you start to realize I'm out of place. I mean, there are certain restaurants that aren't even that classy that sometimes you feel out of place when you walk in because you may see someone. Don't ever go to a restaurant that's considered classy on prom night because you will feel underdressed. Unless, of course, you're dressed for prom. You know, don't go to some of these places that you know the people that are going to be there are going to make you question who you are. It's all about when we walk into church, we want to feel accepted. But when you walk in and you see everybody dressed to the nines and they turn their nose up at you and they sit there in their pew and they don't act like they know who you are, even though you may know them out in the world, you see there's a difference here. It becomes snobbish. It becomes more about class and less about God and what He can do in your life. And so as we look at this, what we have to understand is at some point in time, our Christian walk has to go from Chuck E. Cheese to Artisanal or Gamekeeper. But it has to work through the progress, and you can't just cut off the ones before. At some point, we got to go from VBS to the meat of the message. And we've got to understand that we've got to bring people along because they're not always going to be at the same place we are. So what is Christianity? Well, Christianity is following the teachings of Christ, yes. But the problem with that today is simply this. What are the teachings of Christ? Because if we listen to the differences in the churches today, we're going to think that we're serving different Christs. We're going to think we're serving different gods. The reality of it is we are not serving different gods. We are serving the God, the one God, the one who created this life and gave us this opportunity to be here today. And so as we look at this, I want to hopefully by the end of this understand something. I want to understand our personal ministries. I want to understand our personal relationships. I want to understand the fact that God has called each and every one of us to a ministry. I don't know what yours might be. I don't know what mine might be sometimes. I mean, there's days I go, well, God, I thought you called me to this, but here's this problem where I feel you leading me, or I see you doing something different than I thought. So I have to become comfortable with changing my perspective. I have to become comfortable with allowing God to do what he's leading me to do and not trying to force my way. You see, my way is not the right way. His is. And so when I look at that and I think about that, well, let's think of it in terms of building. How many of you in here have any history with carpentry or construction? All right. So you know there's one stone that needs to be placed that is vitally important to the entirety of what you're building.
Foundation.
Right. The cornerstone. If it's placed just a little bit off, nothing else will go as planned, right? And if it's just a little bit off, it could cause major damages when everything's completed, right? See, here's what we've forgotten about the church today. I mean, it's the same thing that Peter was told when he said, when Christ said, "Who do you believe that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Son of God." And Jesus said, "What to him?" He said, "This has not been revealed to you by man." And then he goes on to say, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." This is the cornerstone of our faith. This is where we start. This is what we need to understand. So hopefully by the end of this, we will have stripped it all down and we will put the cornerstone in place and we will have built the house on the cornerstone. Because I'm not saying that we haven't. And over the last 2 years that I've been here, I'm not saying that we've not tried to look at this and put pieces into place. But as we've gotten to this point, here's where we are. The cornerstone is Christ himself. And until we recognize that, until that foundation is built on him, basically the corner meets at a point where the two strongest walls will be held. Right? I mean, that's pretty much how foundation or how that cornerstone works. Where the two strongest points, most of the weight, and it's all going to be right there, held on that stone. And see, the problem is that if it's just a little off, we can mess a whole lot up. And if that cornerstone is placed just to the right or to the left of where we wanted it or where it needed to be, it's not going to bear the weight the way that it should have. Now, why would I be talking about that? Because I'm not talking about Christ bearing our burdens. But folks, when we teach Christ the wrong way, when we allow the church to mix up the message, when the message becomes what it's not supposed to be, the message is the foundation that builds that house on a bad stone. And it's not where it should be. It's not teaching what it should. And then eventually it's going to slide. The foundation is going to move because it is not a firm, solid foundation. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we start to see some of this happening. It says, "Put away all malice and all deceit," starting in verse 1. "Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a royal priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices for acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do." Now, if we continue on, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, We know about all that. We've talked about all that. But I want to focus on a couple of little things here. And actually, they're not so little. First and foremost, the first thing Peter is telling us to do in this section is to tell us to put away all forms of evil. To put aside all acts of malice, envy, deceit, hypocrisy, slander. What are the things that are so evident within the church today? I mean, gossip. We gossip about one another sometimes, right? I mean, we have a pretty good base in this church not to do those things. We're small in number. We don't really can't afford anybody to talk about each other, right? But it happens. Wow, did you hear about so-and-so? You know, and sometimes it's the gossip prayer chain, you know, where you call and you ask for prayer for somebody just to, I think I've said this before, where you ask for prayer for somebody just so you can get their dirty laundry out there for others to hear. But bless their heart, we got to pray for them. But see, here's the thing that we're missing in a lot of this. There's no slander. Well, slander is simply defined as saying something negative about somebody that's not necessarily true, or throwing them under a bus just so that we can simply try to make a point out of their life, or envy, where you become jealous of what somebody has. Maybe they got a new car, maybe they bought a new house. Envy runs rampant within America today, and we see it everywhere. Nothing's ever good enough. We don't have what we want. So we start to make things happen. Deceit is one of my favorites out of this list because it happens on a regular daily basis. I mean, it's simple, little things, but somehow we find ourselves deceived. It can start, I think some of the best examples are the phone scams and email scams that people fall prey to today. I don't want a new puppy. Oh, I can get it for $25. And then I need to send you 400, so you'll send it to where? And then, oh, it's stuck in customs now at the airport, so I need another 200. And by the time you've given $1,500, you still don't have a dog. And then you go to the sheriff's office, and they're saying, well, it's traced back to Nigeria, or it's traced back through this or that. There's no way I'm getting you that money back. And then you're out $1,500. If somebody ever tells you to go get a Green Dot card and put money on it and then give them the card number, that is not an accurate depiction of what you should be doing. I'm just going to go ahead and lay that out there for you. That's my public address announcement for today. But here's the thing. We fall into those things because they sound too good to be true. But then there's other deceitful things. Has anyone in here ever gotten the scam phone call where someone just says, Grandma? They don't give a name. They don't give their name. They don't call you by name. But they play on the heartstrings. See, this is the way the world is today. This is the way deceit works. This is the way that all of this works. And these are the things that we are to put aside. If you are trying to do something deceitfully just so you can get a personal gain out of it, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing what the Lord has called you to do. You're not doing what God has called you to do. He simply lays it all out there for you. Put away all of this evil. When we put away that evil, when we start to allow that to be put away, the next thing he says is like newborn babes. We thirst for the pure milk. But see, a baby got to grow up. I mean, eventually a mother is not going to breastfeed a child for 38 years. You know, a mother is not going to breastfeed a child beyond maybe the age of 2 or 3. And I don't even know how all that works. So I'm not going to claim that I'm any kind of expert in this at all. I'm just simply going to say that there comes a time where the milk is cut off because you can only get so much. Now, does that mean that we won't come across something new that we didn't know before and it become like milk to us again? No. Because we're always learning. We're constantly striving. We're constantly seeking for the Lord to continue working in our lives. But see, the problem is that sometimes we get trapped on those milk messages. We get trapped on that same back and forth, the same thing over and over, the same message that doesn't necessarily have any bearing beyond us coming to know Christ as Savior. But we can come to know Christ as Savior, but if you don't begin to develop the relationship, do you really know Him? I mean, just as you shared this morning, we can say we've done all of these great things for the kingdom, but He may be looking at us on Judgment Day going, depart from me. I never knew. You worker of iniquity. You went out, and you did all these things, and you did them in my name, but I don't know you. I mean, what would we do at that moment when that happens? When we find ourselves in that situation, well, I know what we'll do. We'll walk away and we'll be dejected and we will not have any experience with heaven, correct? That's pretty much when He says go away, you're going to go away. But this is where we're at. So as we look at this, he continues this message here in 1 Peter 2, somebody's flipping in their Bible now trying to figure it out. But rid yourselves of every evil. As newborn babes, we thirst for the milk of the Word so that by it you may grow in your salvation. Okay, so the milk of the Word leads us into salvation, right? But then what's the next verse? It says, surely you have tasted that the Lord is good. But as we continue through this, we're going to see some things that might make us a little uncomfortable. Because this is where we get out of that Chuck E. Cheese phase of Christianity. Because as he continues on, it says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, for it stands in Scripture. And then Peter goes back and quotes. And he says, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So in Zion, he's laying in Zion a cornerstone. He is building a foundation for something great to happen. This foundation we already know about. We saw it in the teachings of Christ. It says, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. And then he quotes again and says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Who are the builders? The builders are the church. The builders are the church today. And that stone has been rejected. Folks, I can't make it any more clear than this today. We as a church, especially in America, have rejected the actual cornerstone in our teachings and in our building. And we have basically designed and built churches and built buildings out of simple things without the cornerstone attached. That church will not and cannot stand when it comes to the test of time. So, folks, I say let's remodel. When we look at Newland Christian Church, are we built on that cornerstone? Are we firmly built on the foundation of Christ? And if not, then let's strip it down and start over, starting at that cornerstone and putting together something that is spiritually sound. Something that is scripturally sound. Something that God has ordained from the beginning of time. You see, the problem has always been that the church wants to make it about the church, when the reality is that the church is nothing about the church if it's only about the church. This is why you see churches split over stained glass or over carpet or over pews, or over chairs, or over whatever it might be. Maybe it's a building project that they want to undertake. But I'm going to tell you, we got to be careful. Because if people are walking out of a church talking about how amazing the preacher is, but they're not talking about getting fed, oh, well, he just speaks right to my soul. Well, really, what was the message about? You know, test them. See what they're learning. See if it's actually built on a foundation, or if it's just because they got a motivational speech that made them feel good about themselves so they could go out and conquer the world this week. That is not what Christianity is about. If you walk out that door thinking, well, I am great, I am the best, I have failed you. If I come in here and give you a motivational speech, then I have done nothing more than encourage you in the lies and the sin that you are living in. If I come in here and I try to encourage you to go out and live in the world and just be who you want to be, then I'm failing you. I think we need to really run our lives through the scripture. We really need to examine what the scripture says about you and I today. I mean, the reality of it is we have a God who wants us to succeed, but not necessarily to prosper on things of the world. It may not be that we're going to get that brand new house and that brand new car. It might be that he could teach us a lesson. What's the song? It was a song by Laura Story, I think, came out a few years ago called Blessings. Now, it's a tough song for some people to hear. My dad played it over and over, and it was a hard song for me to hear for a few times because it says, what if your blessings come in raindrops? You know, what if your blessings come in all these things that we curse? What if your blessings are in the pain and the storm and the struggle and in the tough times that we face in life? But we're so busy trying to ask you to give us prosperity and ask you to give us the goodness of life that we think we deserve. And the reality of it is what if the blessings are the curses? What if the blessings are what we consider the problem? What if the blessing comes in what someone else sees you do in your life because of how you handled a circumstance? What if the blessing comes in the fact that you have more going for you than money can buy, because you're loved by a Savior who died for you, because you're loved by a God who sent that Savior for you? You see, Jesus is the cornerstone that we build on. And so as we close things out this morning, I want to go to Matthew chapter 7. I just want to read this really quickly to you. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Folks, I think just the simple fact that Newland Christian Church still exists today says a lot about the foundation. But we can start at that cornerstone, and we can continue to build something that people can look at and see Christ at work and know that God is still God. If the world doesn't know that God is God, why is that? Well, it's because they see different versions of God. I'm sorry, I just cannot get behind the preaching of a minister who says, I don't believe that God would send someone to hell, because I do believe that God would. I can't get behind the teachings of a minister who's going to stand up and tell you, if you want $6 million in your bank account, then make it happen by being the best you can be. Great. That's not going to do me any good, because I can't buy my way into heaven, right? I don't care how much of this $6 million that you want on earth, and you get it, good for you. Where's your salvation stand? How are you utilizing the gifts that you've been given? We're going to break these things down over the next few weeks. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and do something that I normally don't do, but next week I'm going to go ahead and tell you. For the next few weeks, there's a very good likelihood that we're going to spend a lot of time in this section of Scripture. So I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you. We're going to break it all down. We're going to look at it. We're going to see it. But Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11, and we're going to work our way into chapter 6. All right? So Hebrews 5:11, it says, about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need some to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, but the solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguishing good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they then fall away, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. Folks, we're going to look at that scripture. We're going to break that down. We're going to dive in head first. But we're going to start with the milk, and we're going to work right past it into maturity, hopefully. Because as a church, we need that. As a church, we cannot get stuck on a message that is solely just the milk of Christ and Him crucified. Yes, that is the basis of our salvation. But there's a whole lot more to it than just a man dying on a cross for our sins. Does that mean that we don't need to look at that? No, that is the foundation. That is where we start. That is the foundation of our faith. And if the Lord permits, we will do this, and we will study this, and we will dive in head first and allow Him to do the work that needs to be done. Let's not do it in vain. So I encourage you to pray over the next few weeks. Pray of where we're going to go. But if you have a decision to make, if you need to get that cornerstone in place, if you need to start with the cornerstone, then today's the day. Because if you don't have the cornerstone in place, then the building will fall. The building will tumble hard, and great will be the fall. Isn't that what Matthew said? Great will be the fall. But if you do have that cornerstone in place, be ready to build. Be ready to build a new home. Be ready to build something on that cornerstone that is standing and will stand the test of time. It will stand the test of Scripture. It will stand the test of evil and pain and struggle and suffering that come your way, because the fact of the matter is, when you're built on that rock, the storms can come, they can well, they can tear down, but the foundation will hold. All right? So as we move forward through the next few weeks, let's pray about this. Pray that God will enlighten you to this. Pray that God will allow us to open the door wider than it ever has been before here at Newland, and to see Him move in mightier ways as we move forward.